The first reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 7 through 16. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. Please be seated.
On Christmas night, the angels sing, "Oh, holy night." Thank you, Jean, for that again this year. Silent night, holy night, we sing about night. If it weren't for night and being able to worship at night, boy, we wouldn't be able to use all these great songs. These are fantastic, and it's a wonderful blessing to be able to gather together to sing about these wonderful unopened gifts, if you will, of what God is about to present to us. A couple of weeks ago, I asked people about being afraid of the dark as we were talking about night and day, and noting that most often in Scripture, we have the idea that day, light is good, and dark, night is bad. But there's always an exception to the rule. And while more bad things can happen at night, because people work under the cover of darkness and try to escape the light, we also know that light and darkness are both creations from God. In the beginning, God did not just create light, God created darkness as well. Now, what there is when there's an absence of light, we think of as darkness, but it specifically does note that God created the darkness. So what was before that? You got me. The Bible didn't go back that far. It just started with the creation. And what a blessing to know that in that darkness, there is a gift that is coming as well. Every night, the Jewish night and day schedule works and the idea of when night comes, when the sun sets, that's the beginning of the new day. Kind of conflicts with our use of the word day when we assign day as in something that takes place during the light, most normally. But that's the way it was for them. For us, we stick with the idea of the day begins when the light comes up. Although I realize for some of us it starts a few hours before that. We get a head start on the day, but then the daylight comes. And night becomes sort of like a reset. I don't know about you, but I like the reset. I like the reset a lot more and more. Sometimes I like to reset in the middle of the day, too. I mean, that's how you get things working, right? That's how that is how things work. Your computer's not working. What do? Turn it off. Power it down. Reset. Turn it back on. And if that didn't work, hard reset. Unplug the thing. Now we're talking. You know. Now see, I'm a service tech and I just saved you a call to India. That will fix your computer. I've spent 4 hours on the phone there for one problem. And it was as easy as, no, not turning it off and on, taking it back to Fry's and getting another one. It was a hard, hard reset. That's what night is for us, though. It's a reset. It's an opportunity to get some peace and sleep. And yes, there are some that struggle with sleep, and there are some that struggle with peace in that sleep. But for the most part, we note that this is a gift from God for the purpose of that reset, for the purpose of sleep, for the purpose of renewing our spirit, our strength, so that we can go on and about the next day. Night is a time that God blesses us. Night is a time that He gives us an opportunity to rest and to refresh. It's also a time that He gives us an opportunity to observe even other aspects of His creation that we don't see in the daytime. The lesser lights that guide the night. We see the lesser lights, the stars and the moon and the heavens. And how many of you have gone out on one of these wonderful nights that they tell you we're going to have a lot of shooting stars tonight? Have you gone out and camped out in the darker areas to watch those? My family, we all just kind of laid on the hood of my pickup one night. I think we came up with almost 20. We didn't quite get to 20, but in a few hours' time, we're able to catch that many shooting stars. It's a beautiful sight. You know what? That's going on all the time. We're just not seeing it because of the light. What a beautiful gift is the night to be able to adore something like that. When night comes, there's another gift that sometimes many people are looking forward to, and that's being able to say, well, I can't do anything more with this tonight. I'm just going to have to sit it down. And what a relief that can sometimes be to know that, oh, the day's done, you're done. We'll have to pick it up tomorrow. And it may be a struggle tomorrow, whatever we have to pick up, but for now, there's nothing more I can do with this. I've got to lay it down. I've got to stop. I've got to rest. Like I said about Christmas shopping, you're done. You have to lay it down. It's time to go on and rejoice. You don't have to worry about any more of that. It's taken care of. Night brings an ending for things for us. And it awaits the return of light when we begin things again. In wintertime in Barrow, the northernmost city in Alaska. Bless you. In the northernmost city in Alaska, they see the sun disappear from the sky for 67 days straight. Now, it's not like it's pitch dark night all the time, but the sun doesn't rise over the horizon at any point for 67 days. That's a reset, if ever there was one. I don't know how folks do that. Only folks that live up there can really understand what that's like. And I guess the craziness that comes also that recognizes that in the summertime, they get 87 days of light without night, which might drive you a little crazy the other way too then. But for us to know that God is the God of both the daytime and the nighttime, the God of light and the God of darkness. He created both. And while evil at times may be a little more prevalent in the night, in night people get away with things that they wouldn't get away with in the daylight. Although they're getting a lot bolder, aren't they? We're seeing with all these doorbell ringtone things. A lot more boldness going on in the daytime. But we know that God is with us in both. Night, in a sense, is kind of like, in a church sense, it's kind of like churches that don't use a printed liturgy. They get away with whatever mistakes happen in the service because it wasn't printed for you to see what was supposed to take place next. But we're not people of the night, we're people of the day. And we tend to desire most often to escape the night. What God would say is that we have this opportunity to appreciate both, to use both the way they are needed. One is needed to rest and to relax and to refresh. And one is needed to do the work, to get out and to witness, to share the good news. Both have value, both have purpose. And it's getting a lot more blurred for us as we're becoming more and more closer to a 24-hour society and culture. It's becoming a lot different now for us. But night is a part of our normal experience. If it weren't for night, the wise men would have never found where the Christ child was, because the star had to guide them along the way. Several passages from the Psalms that talk about the beautiful handiwork of God in the day and the night. From Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky displays His handiwork. Day after day it speaks out. Night after night it reveals His greatness." There are such beautiful things that we can observe at night, and things that only come out at night. Some animals that only live in the darkness. And those who are out in the darkness get to appreciate those. And Psalm 139, if we were to say, "Certainly the darkness will cover me, and the light will turn to night all around me. Even the darkness is not too dark for you to see, and the night is as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same for you." Reflecting back to God and recognizing that it doesn't matter to Him, light or dark, just like time is something far beyond what God is having to deal with us. He lives outside of that time. He lives outside of day and night. He's there in all of it for us. We say prayers at night that God would be with us throughout the night. Do you get up every morning and say prayers in the morning that God would be with you throughout the day? Realistically, if we're going to take a look at where we need the protection most, it's probably during the day than at night. At night, you're at home, you're in your bed, you feel safe in your home and snug and warm, and, well, you're good. It's in the daytime that all the things can really happen to you for the most part, because that's when you're out in this world. If you say your prayers at night, consider the fact that really you need to say the prayers in the morning, because when you rise, that's when the struggles truly begin for us in this world, quite frequently. Night is an opportunity to reset. Night is an opportunity to lay back down in the arms of God and feel comfortable and safe. To give our troubles to Him, to recognize that He's there to bless us. We get to New Year's Eve here in just another week. And with New Year's Eve, that's a night that we look at as kind of like a night of hope, because we're looking at the new year thinking how things will be better in the new year, how we want to look at something better in the new year than what we've experienced in the past, how we make New Year's resolutions perhaps even for that new year and drop some of those things that were problems or struggles for us in the past. To borrow the line from the hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Thee tonight." Kind of lay it all at God and say, "God, make the new year better. It's a night of hope. It's another year going away. It's another year coming into our lives. And it shows that we have a concern with the future and what will be. Yeah, that's so much more than just a New Year's Eve need. Every night is the opportunity for that reset to look for what God will do for us and in our lives tomorrow. How God is going to change us for tomorrow, and how we can give God this day and everything up till this day and say, Lord, let's restart tomorrow. I'm telling you, if you're thinking about New Year's resolutions, don't wait. If that's something you like to do, I don't do resolutions. I couldn't keep them. Couldn't keep them. Except for the last one I made, and that was to never make another resolution. I'm going on almost 20 years on that now. Best resolution I ever made. But if you're going to make them now. If you're going to make a promise to God that you're going to change, change now. If you're giving yourself over to the Lord and saying, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to witness more, I'm going to worship more, I'm going to do more Bible study, don't wait. Do it now. And whatever other things that you would say that would improve your life, why wait? We're done with today. It's night. There's nothing more you can do, perhaps. But why not start in the morning? You've got a fresh go. God has given it to you. It's like an unopened gift when you leave here. You're going to close your eyes at some point, and then when you open them, how will you respond to this new gift? And it is a new gift that God gives us every single day. We get concerned about the future. And that's perhaps something that keeps us from settling down sometimes, even at night. But just like the idea of a new year, just like the idea of a new day, we may not know what the future holds, but as the saying goes, we know who holds the future. And it's God. We know who holds tomorrow. It's Christ. And we know who holds us, our Lord and God. We're in His hands, day and night. Let the silent night, holy night, dominate your hearts and your minds with hope, not fear, because you know who's in control. For tonight, we know who is in control. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.